Indeed.com.
When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for the man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. While he was speaking, Judas came to one of the 12, and with them a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, the one I will kiss is the man. Seize them. And he came up to Jesus once and said, greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, you do not do what you came to do. Then they came up and laid their hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out against us as a robber, with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and did you not seize me? But all this has taken place, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled.
Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up and said, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? They answered, he deserves death. Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you mean. And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly.
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, you have said so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, which of you two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released them for Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns. They put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross, and when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who had passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way.
Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, sir, will you remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise? Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he is risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard.
This morning, I want to just focus on a string of events that took place leading up to Jesus' arrest. And the section that I want to focus on starts with a prediction or a prophecy, in a sense, of Jesus. In Matthew 26:31, it says, then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. And it ends with that prediction or prophecy coming true in Matthew 26, verse 55, the last part of it. Then all the disciples left him and fled. I want to just focus on this section of Scripture. The beginning and end of it, those two verses alone are pretty tragic and pretty disappointing, I guess you could say. But then there's the sequence of events that takes place between them. And the first thing is that Peter responds to Jesus' prediction that they would all fall away. And he says this, verse 33, Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And I was thinking, you know, it's one thing to proclaim your own allegiance to Jesus and say something like, well, I'm never going to fall away, Jesus. But Peter goes like a step further and kind of compares himself to all the other disciples. Like, even if they all fall away, I won't. I won't. Like, he thinks himself better than them, almost. And Jesus challenges him on that notion, and Jesus says, truly I say to you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Right, talk about a humbling accusation. Right, like, how would you respond if Jesus flat out said, you're going to deny me, and you're not just going to do it once, but you're going to do it three times? And then, of course, this happened just like Jesus said it would. Well, Peter's response to that, verse 35, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. Right? He doubles down on that statement. I would never do that. I would die with you. I would die for you, Jesus. And the last part of that verse says, all the disciples said the same. Right? All of them said this. Like after three and a half years or so of learning from him and traveling with him and growing close to him, like they felt so passionate about this guy that they totally agreed they would willingly lay down their life for Jesus. They're strong words with so much fire and passion behind them. But it doesn't hold up for very long. Right? Next, it says they head out to the place where Jesus can pray. He tells them to stay nearby, but he takes Peter and James and John a bit further with him and asks them to keep watch while he prays. And what do? They fall asleep. So he wakes them up and asks them a second time to keep watch and to pray. They fall asleep again. And this time he doesn't even bother waking them up, but he goes away to pray a third time, and he wakes them up after he comes back because Judas and the pursuers were at hand. And I'm thinking of this going, they said they were willing to do anything for him, even to die for him, but they couldn't even stay awake and pray. And then Judas greets him and betrays him with a kiss. Jesus knew he was going to be betrayed. He was going to be betrayed by one of his own. What's interesting is that Jesus never actually put Judas out or cast him away in that moment. Like Jesus somehow was comfortable walking in a very uncomfortable tension, right? Knowing that one who was close with him, one who he loved and had spent so much time with, would stab him in the back. But then Judas took that knife and twisted it when he betrayed Jesus with an intimate act of affection, a kiss. Right? Like a kiss like this was given as a sign of honor and love and respect. Could there be any more traitorous way to betray Jesus than this? And still, when Jesus addressed Judas, he didn't speak badly of him in that moment. He called him friend. Friend. Do what you've come for, he said. And I was thinking, is there anything that hurts our heart worse than when a friend betrays us? And that's another thing Jesus felt when he was arrested. Verses 50 through 52 in chapter 26, then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Now, according to John's gospel, we find out it was Peter who took the sword and cut off the servant's ear. Shocker, right? It was Peter. Again, Peter shows so much fire and passion. But here's the thing. Jesus never asked him to fight for him. In fact, he had to tell Peter, put that sword away, because this was not at all what he wanted. Peter acted on his own impulse to do this. And then Luke's gospel tells us that Jesus actually healed the servant. Like he had to fix the mess that Peter made, right? Which is a good thing, because probably they would have arrested Peter and the other disciples too for some sort of insurrection. And then after all of this, when Jesus is finally taken away, all the other disciples left him and fled, just as he said they would. I wonder a little bit, like this is not in the notes, but I'm wondering, could Jesus have just felt like, yeah, I knew this was going to happen, but I really wish someone would have stuck by me. I really wish someone would have stuck by me. But they did exactly as he predicted, and in doing so, the scriptures were fulfilled. Still, they abandoned Jesus, and he felt all of that. Like he was left to face everything he was about to go through completely alone. And so here's what strikes me about what unfolds in this series here. Like, first of all, Jesus asked so little of them, right? Like, he didn't ask for their pledges of allegiance to him. He didn't ask them to be arrested with him. He didn't ask them to fight for him. He didn't ask them to die for him. They proclaimed all those things on their own, even though he didn't want or ask any of that from them in this moment. He didn't ask for it. The only thing, here's kind of first point, the only thing that Jesus asked of his disciples was to stay with him and pray with him. That's the only thing he asked in this moment. In his moment of agony and trouble, crushed with sorrow and grief, knowing what he was about to go through, the only thing Jesus asked of them was to stay with him and pray. He asked so little of them, just these like two small things, and they couldn't do it. And what I was thinking about was how often that might be true for us as well. Right? How often do we talk big but fail small? Right? That's kind of the next point here. We talk big but we fail small. Like, we make big proclamations, yet we don't even do the little things Jesus asks of us. We fail in that. Like, they talk big and sometimes so do we. Like, we make these grandiose gestures and incredible promises to Jesus which proclaim our love, proclaim our devotion for him. Like, we believe, oh, we're really all in for Jesus. We believe in the depths of our heart that we would die for him. We'll do anything he asks of us, no matter the cost. We talk big. Then he asks us to do some small thing like, spend some time talking to me each day. Learn about me in the scriptures. Show up for worship each week. Tell a friend about me. Or at least invite someone to church. Teach the little ones in kids' church. Go meet your neighbors. Show them love. Show them my love. Give a little extra money for my purposes. Use your gifts and make an impact. Like, he asks us to do these simple little things. And all he hears is the sound of snoring sometimes. When it comes to some of the simplest things Jesus asks of us, he finds us sleeping. Die for me? You can't even stay awake for me. We talk big, but we fail small. And so this Easter season, I want to challenge us with this as a starting point as we kind of turn our hearts and focus on this occurrences this Easter season. Here's kind of the final thought. Be alert to the little ways we can be faithful with what Jesus asks of us. Be alert to the little ways we can be faithful with what Jesus asks of us. And let's put this in perspective. What Jesus asks of us, he asks so little of us compared with what he's done on the cross, right? That's where this is ultimately landing, right? We've gained so much by his sacrifice. We've gained forgiveness. We've gained eternal life. And that is incredible. And yet much of what he asks of us in return is so small by comparison. So be alert to the little ways we can be faithful with what Jesus asks of us. Now, as I say that, like, look, there are big things we're called to do as well, right? Living out the gospel is bigger than just, you know, holding a door open at the gas station for an elderly person, right? Let's not kid ourselves and think that's all I got to do, right? That's all that's needed. I mean, in Scripture, we're commanded to care for the widows and the orphans. We're commanded to help the poor and needy, and to take up the cause of the oppressed. And I realize that many of you are doing those kinds of things. You know, you're caring for widows and orphans. You're doing adoption or foster care, and you're caring for them. That's awesome. Through giving to food pantries, you're feeding the poor. through getting involved with Damascus Road or Exodus Road, you're taking up the cause of the oppressed, helping those in need and needing of rescue, working with rescue victims of human trafficking. Right? There are many ways we can get involved here and at Portico and outside these walls. I hope you're doing that, and I know that a lot of you are. And those are important. Those are big things. And we're called to them. That's part of living out the gospel. But this morning, I want to challenge you not to fail small this Easter. There are opportunities right before you in the next few weeks to pray, to study or read, to share the love of Jesus, to love others well, to invite, to give, to serve. Little things Jesus asks you to be doing. Don't be asleep, right? Don't be asleep. Don't close your eyes. Be alert to the little ways we can be faithful to Jesus with what he asks of us. I'm going to close in prayer, and then Scott's going to give us just a few announcements this morning. Father God, you have given us this incredible gift in Jesus. Jesus, you have made an incredible sacrifice on our behalf to offer us forgiveness and to bring us eternal life. And Holy Spirit, you are working within us, making us more like Jesus himself. God, we pray that this Easter season, these next few weeks, as we focus on the story of what took place and how you went to the cross for us, that this incredibly big thing, this incredibly great thing that you've done for us would move us to be faithful to you in whatever you ask. And yes, God, we want to be faithful in the big things. We want to be filled with passion and fire and really be all in for you. But help us not to overlook that each day, each moment, each and every breath, we have an opportunity to worship you in how we live and how we act and how we share you with people around us and how we stay in step with your Spirit. Help us not to fail small, but to be faithful in each moment with what you've called us to. Help us to keep you on our hearts in that way in these next couple of weeks. That as we journey through these days, that we would just be mindful of those around us, of how your Spirit may be prompting us. And help us to be bold and courageous and be faithful in the small things that you call us to as well as the big. We lift this up before you in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.